one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. If you want to see his face in peace, you have to die unto your old self and come up rising in the news of life. Accept the man.
KQJO, St. Joseph Natchez 99.3.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused, and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. Amen. Amen. I want to use for a thought this morning. Membership has its privileges. Amen. Membership has its privileges. We need to know that when you become a member of an organization, they always tell you you have every right and every privilege that every member has in this organization. And we join because of what we think is either a benefit or a privilege. Amen? And in a way, the church is no different. Because when we join because we understand that there are some benefits in being a member of the body of Christ or the universal church of God. Amen? We understand that membership, when you join the church, it's not about you just getting up and saying, hey, I want to be a part of the church. What really makes you a part of the church is your relationship with the one who owns the church. That's what makes you a part of the church. It's what goes on in your heart when you fall in love with him and your relationship with him. That's what makes you a part of the church. It's not because my name has been written on the roll, but it's because my name has been written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. And so when we begin to talk about membership and understanding that, it has its privileges. When we join the church, when we join the church of God, we have a lot of things that God gives to us. And look, many of us don't even know the things that he has for us. Or if we did, the scripture would not have been written that said, I had not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that all the things that God has in store for them that love him. But it has been revealed by his spirit. Amen. And so when we talk about membership and being a part of the body of Christ, there are some things that we have to understand that we have to deal with even up until this point when Paul was writing the book of Romans. I always say when the book of Romans was written, Paul wrote this book, it should be labeled the gospel according to Paul. Because if all you had was the book of Romans, you could find out how to be saved. You can find out not only how to be saved, but it'll teach you how to live saved and how to stay saved and your position in Christ. Come on and say amen. And so when we look at verses 1, chapter 1 through 4, we find out the state of mankind and why we had need of a savior. We find out how he is the only one who can save us by the blood that he shed on Calvary's hill. Amen. Christ was our substitution. Amen. He, in other words, he took our place on the cross. He took our place when we were supposed to die, because the scripture tells us that the wages of sin is what? Death, but the gift of God is eternal life. All of us at some point have become sinners. Amen. All of us have fallen short of the glory. Now, when we say that all the time, we think about the lie we told or the thing we stole or the thing we didn't do. Amen. But what it really means means falling short of the glory. It means that when we fail to look like him. That's the glory. Christ is the glory of God. Amen. And when we fail to look like Christ, then we've fallen short of the glory. So what are you saying? I'm saying when we fail to love like Christ, when we fail to sacrifice like Christ, when we fail to do the things that Christ has told us to do, then we have fallen short of the glory. Amen. And so he says now, he goes on and tells us how he puts this in perspective, that our relationship with God or our relationship with him puts us in a place or puts us in a position or in the family of God, which makes us members of his kingdom, of his family, and of his body. Amen. And so our relationship with us, with him, puts us in a place that we could not get to on our own. Amen. Our righteousness is no good. I don't care how good you live, how good you think you are, but our righteousness is no good. Even our righteousness is as filthy rags when it comes to the comparison of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so we have to understand that we become part of this family, part of this body. But when we come in, the first thing we understand is that we become sheep. Amen. And we want to what? Follow the shepherd. Amen. We should follow the shepherd, and we should be as sheep. Amen. Because we at one point had gone astray. But let me tell you, there is a progression in this thing. We got to understand there's always more to God. There's never a time when we say that this is all it is to God and that's it. There's always something more to strive for. We got to understand that even though God doesn't change, he changes us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we got to understand that there's always a progression. He always tells us there's 30, 60, and 100-fold. And so when we come to Christ, when we come to God, we come in like sheep or like a baby. Amen. But then we should grow. We should mature, and we should become not just sheep anymore, but then we become the bride. What's the bride? The bride is the church, the bride of Christ. We become who he marries. We become who he's committed to, and we should be committed to him too. Amen? And so we become that. We go from being sheep that sometimes go astray. Sometimes we have an animalistic nature. Sometimes we think carnal. Sometimes all we want to do is eat and come on and say amen. Sometimes that's all we really want to do. But then he says now it's time to grow from being just sheep to become part of the bride of Christ, who he will adorn, who he will dress up, who he will bless, who he will put in a high esteem and in a precious place. It's time for us to go from being sheep to being part of the bride. But then there's another time when we go from the 30-fold sheep to the 60-fold, the bride, to the 100-fold. The 100-fold is when we become the body of Christ. And so when we become the body as members of the body of Christ, now we walk in 100-fold. What do you mean? Then we walk in the things that we don't see, the things that we've been asking God for, then we begin to do them. What do you mean? I'm talking about how when Jesus told the disciples, he said, if you ask anything in my name, the Father in heaven would do it. But then it came a place when Peter would walk by people and people would get healed in his shadow. That's when you become part of the body. Am I talking French to you? I hope y'all understand what I'm trying to say here. And so we have to not be satisfied with just being sheep. We need to be able to progress to become part of the body of Christ, because look at this, the body of Christ, when we progress to from the sheep, we have to leave the sheep to become the bride, because we got to understand that it was in Leviticus that it is wrong for man to lay with an animal, to be intimate with an animal. And so we acting like an animal if we want to have intimacy with God. You understand what I'm saying here? And so we can't keep acting like an animal if we want to have an intimate relationship with God. Amen. We have to put our animal instinct aside and become spiritual beings, because God is a spirit. And when we do that, then we become the bride, and then we have intimacy with God, and then we're impregnated with what God wants us to do. And then we travail to have the God baby. Amen. The word of God and the things of God, the fruit of the spirit. That's when we begin to produce that. But then it comes a point that we go from that to where you can't tell us apart, and we become one with him. That's why Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And so we become one with him, and then we know how to love sacrificially. We know how to bless. We know how to pray for them that despitefully use us. We know how to turn the other cheek. We know how to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We know how to say, it's all right, me hanging here being crucified, because my day of resurrection is about to come. We know these things when we become part of the body. The body, amen? And so he wants us to progress. He wants us to grow, and he wants us to become members of the body, because membership has its privileges. You have a connection. Anybody, you know that if your body is connected, if your joints are connected, if they're out of joint, then there's pain. But if they're connected, then everything works accordingly. Everything flows like it should. You can run, you can walk, you can jump, you can do anything you need to do if everything's joined up together. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4 how we are, the body ought to be fitly joined together and compacted and nourished by love that one joint supplies to the other. And so when we're connected, then we supply something to the other. We need to learn how to supply other people. We are in the business now in the church. This is the church now, the universal church. We want to see what people can supply to us, but we don't have anything to supply them with. We want to see who can love us, but we fail to love them. We want to see who can bless us, but we fail to become a blessing. Amen. Oh, come on and say amen. We want people to forgive us, but we fail to forgive. Am I in the right place this morning? We got to get to a place where we are a member of the body, because membership has its privileges. Because God said, if you forgive, you shall be forgiven. If you have mercy, you'll get mercy. He said, whatever measure you judge with, you better be ready, because you're going to get that right back. I wish I had somebody here. And so he talks to us about all of these things. And then when we get to a place in verse number 1, he says, therefore, and we understand that I just told you what therefore is therefore. I just told you what he talked about. So he says, being what? Justified by faith. We have to understand the first thing is that the privilege that we have is that we're justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing that we understand here is that we're justified by faith. And so since we're justified by faith, we're justified by the goodness of God, because he just is good. He's good. And so the goodness of God, we have the privilege of experiencing God's goodness, because when you look at God's goodness, he gives us his goodness and he gives us his peace. And this peace that he's talking about is not escapism. This peace that he's talking about is not for us to be able to have a quiet time, or what we call a sabbatical. I just need some peace, some quiet. That's not the kind of peace he's talking about. He's talking about even while you're going through your trouble, even while you're yet in the world, even while people are talking about you, lying on you, bring it back to you, even while you're suffering for a little while, even while you're going through your suffering, you need to know that God will hold you steadfastly and give you a peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace that will not allow you to lose your mind. And you need to quit saying, I'm about to lose my mind, I'm about to break down. No, God will give you a breakthrough before you break down. Hallelujah. And so we need to get to a place of where we understand that we have peace with God. And so since I got peace with God, I don't have to worry about trying to make peace with everybody, being a people pleaser, because I'm a God pleaser. And the Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, that he would cause even his enemies to be at peace with him. So I'm looking to please God. And when I please God, my enemies will finally see that it's all right. I better make up with him, because God's favor is upon him. So he goes on. He says that we are justified. But then in verse 2, he says, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so he says, we have, first, we've experienced the God's goodness, but we've also experienced God's grace. What are you saying now? I'm talking about the privilege of his grace, his favor, his charis, his favor, meaning that I'm standing in a position that I was not once in. I'm standing in a position of grace. I'm in a place where now I've been acquitted of all charges. He said, I've been justified. He said, I've been acquitted. I've been not only acquitted, but I've been accepted, and I've made peace with God. And so when he says that, he says that not only have I been acquitted, and what happens here is that when you're acquitted, it does not mean that you're not guilty. It means that the people who judge you say, it's all right, you can go free. So God is the judge, and God said, even though you're guilty, I look and I decided to acquit you. I looked at you and I decided to let you go. I looked at you and I decided to say, I'm not going to punish you for what I know you did, because of the glory and the grace of God that he's given unto us. And so I'm standing in a place of grace, and I dare not move from the place where I'm standing in, because if I get out of grace, then all of the stuff I did comes back up. Then all the punishment I'm supposed to have, I get. And so I'm not going to stand in another place. That's why he tells us in Psalm number 1. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. I need to get to a place where I'm comfortable standing where I am. As he says, stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So my feet are steadfast. In other words, they're fastened to where I'm standing, and I'm not going to move, because this is what God placed me. I wish I had somebody here. He says, now you've been acquitted because of his grace, because of his favor. And the grace of God happens not because of how good you are. We've been given the wrong message in the church. If we do this and if we do that, we've been telling people, if you do this, then this will happen for you. If you do that, you know what? We need to realize God is sovereign, and that his grace is sufficient no matter where we are, no matter what we've done. That's why Paul was such an advocate of grace, because he knew all the stuff that he had done. He had killed Christians. And don't you know, that could have plagued him in his mind. He said, I'm the chief of sinners, because I've been the worst of everybody else. I was so wrong in what I did, but I'm standing in the grace of God. Amen. And so the grace of God, you need to make sure people understand that I'm here by the grace. I can't get all puffed up and can't get prideful, because I know it wasn't me. I know it wasn't anything that I did that was so right for God's favor to fall upon me. But what I did do is that I fell in love with him, and I became a member of the body of Christ. And when I did that, I had some privileges that now that I understand that if it had not been for me making my membership and keeping it up, come on and say amen, then I won't have the right and the privileges that I have to stand in the position that he's put me in. He said we have access by faith unto this grace. And the word access, and when he talks about access, amen, that word access, it means that I have admission. Now somebody had to pay it. Jesus paid my admission. He admitted, and then look at this. He gave me acceptance into the place that I am. And so now I have access. What do I have access to? I have access to the presence of God. He said that the joy that when we just to his presence is fullness of what? Joy, and at his right hand is pleasures forevermore. So I have access to the joy and the pleasures of knowing him. I have access to him. And then not only that, but I have access to his presence and to his promises. Whatever he said is for me. I have access to the promises of God. And so what about the promises of God? The promises of God is that he won't fail you. The promises of God is that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The promises of God said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them all. Oh yeah, the promises of God. We need to know that we are the righteousness of God, and that he promised us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He won't leave us alone. He'll be with us even unto the end of the world. Do anybody here believe that today? Are you a member and have the privileges of the grace of God and the goodness of God? Hallelujah. And so he says that wherein we stand, and guess what? We rejoice in the hope of glory. I rejoice in the hope of glory. When we talk about rejoicing, amen, we need to boast. We need to make good of it. I wish I had somebody here. We need to make sure that our joy that we have on the inside is expressed on the outside. We need to make sure people see and know that I got the goodness of God in my life and I've experienced his grace. And we need to be boastful about it, amen. And look, it's all right to boast on God as long as you don't boast on yourself and talk about what all you've done and how good you are. But no, I need to tell you God is good and his mercy endured forever. I need to tell you that his grace is sufficient for me and his strength has been made perfect where I'm weak. Do I have anybody here that understands what I'm saying? And so in verse number 2, we understand that there is the grace of God. Verse number 1 lets us know about the goodness of God. But then we go to verse number 3 and verse number 4, and it tells us of the glory of God. I have the privilege of not only experiencing God's goodness and God's grace, but I have the privilege of experiencing the glory of God. He said, and not only so, look, not only do you experience goodness and grace, but you got to understand that, but we glory in tribulations also, not just when it's good, not just when things going well. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. I don't think that you're underprivileged when things are not going your way. I just don't feel like I'm a privileged Christian, that I'm a privileged member of the body of Christ, because all of this has broken loose in my life. All hell has broke loose. I've had it up to here. I got bills due. Don't know where the money coming from. I'm sick. I got so much going on in my life. My car broke down. They laid me off. All of the trouble that you might go through, you need to understand that you still have the glory of God rest upon you. He said, I glory in tribulations also. And look at this. When we talk about his glory, the word glory here, when we talk about the word glory, it is the kabod or the Shekinah. It is to experience God's heavy weight, the kabod of God, the heavy weight of God weighing down on you. And so what happens when you go through tribulation, and I like that, because when you look at the word tribulation means pressure. And the reason why I'm going through is not because the devil's just having his way in my life. It is because the kabod of God, the weight of God's glory is resting on me. And the reason why is because something down on the inside that God wants to manifest on the outside. And because we pushed it so far down on the inside and covered it up with junk, covered it up with mess, covered up because the word of God is under there and God wants his word to manifest in your life. And so he has to weigh down on you a bit, press you a little bit, so that whatever's on the inside, the presence of God that's down on the inside, underneath the lies, underneath the stress, underneath the pain, all that stuff that's underneath there, amen, we got to understand that God said, I want my glory to be revealed. And so the tribulation, the pressure that I experience, amen, it brings about the glory. Look at this. He said, knowing this. I don't want to get too far ahead. I want to make sure you understand. He said, knowing, we got to know some things. Mm-hmm. We have to be confident that tribulation is working for us. We go into things not knowing. We go into things without hope. But when you're a member, you don't have to worry. Because he said, all things, Romans 8, work together for the good of them. We love God and to the what? According to his purpose. Those that love God, he said, I got something good in store for you. Everything that you deal with, everything that you go through is going to work out for your good. Now, I don't know how. You need to ask God how. But I know it will work out for your good. He said, oh God, before, what shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things? What do I say to my trouble? What do I say to my circumstances? What do I say to these things? What do I say to my problems? What do I say to my pain? What do I say to my discouragement when it's right there in my face? And I'm trying to look around at this devil and say, no, I'm making sure you see what's wrong. I'm making sure you see what's not happening in your life. What do I say to these things? I step back and I say, if God be for us, who can be against us? In other words, if God be for me, everybody else might as well be, because I'm a winner. If you can't beat them, you might as well join them. So be a member. Oh, hallelujah. We have to understand membership has its privileges. God will fight your battle. God will open up doors. God will make a way. Anybody here believe that today? We got to understand that tribulation, the pressure that we experience, is that pressure is only because God is trying to get you to a place. When I remember, the Bible says that when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says the word Gethsemane means olive press. And so when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. And he was under great pressure. And the Bible says that he sweated as great drops of blood. And he prayed that night. And he said, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Anybody know that the olive that was being pressed in that place that day was his soul? He was so pressed and so under pressure that God's grace and his glory that was on the inside manifested on the outside, so that when he was arrested, he was able to heal a man's ear. That when he was arrested, he was able to speak and say, I am he. Don't fight. Let me go. Well, come on and say, man. He was so anointing and so oiled down because he was pressured. He was the glory of God oozed out of him. And he was so oiled that when they took him to beat him, he never said a mumbling word. When they took and plucked out his beard, slapped him in the face, he said, I'm here for this reason, and I know what I have to go through, and I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to say, turn back the hands of time. If I can just do something different, I wouldn't come to Jerusalem. I'll stay down in Cana of Galilee. I wish I had somebody. We got to quit regretting what God has taken us through, because the trial of your faith, oh, come on and say amen. The trial of our faith worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. Do I have anybody? We need to see what Jesus did. He was so all down with the presence of God that when he did go through death, death couldn't hold him. He slipped back into life. Do I have anybody here? We were so all down that he slipped right into hell and nobody noticed, and got everybody free, all them down with the presence of God. They came out of hell, went to the grave, and all of a sudden on day three, he got up early and they got up with him. Come on and say amen. They slipped out of death, but he said, hold on. It's not time for that yet. I wish I had somebody here that understood tribulation. We ought to have tribulation. Tribulation is just pressure. And what does pressure do? Pressure is here to test your integrity, to see how strong you are. Pressure is here to show you that you're able to handle it. Amen. When you pressurize and do a pressurized test of something, you got to pressurize it and test it like the boilers at work. You got to test it to make sure that if they're under a certain amount of pressure, that it'll still be safe to operate. Preach anyway. You got to understand that it's safe to operate even under pressure. Some of us don't want to go to church. Some of us don't want to praise God, don't want to pray. It's still safe to operate even while I'm under pressure. It's just testing my integrity, and I'm here to show it, whatever's testing me, that I'm able to stand.